So we're grateful for the word of the Lord. Today you're going to be going to Ephesians 6. We have been in the book of Ephesians. We started at the beginning and we're now at the beginning of Ephesians 6. The first three chapters tell us about the power of God and the purpose of God, who we are in Christ, what Christ has done, and that Jesus came into the world to deliver us from out of the hands of the enemy. Jesus came to deliver us from sin, which is a destructive force against us. And for all of those who put their trust in Jesus Christ, they'll never be put to shame or disappointed. We can have confidence and know that when we are in the arms of God and we have surrendered our life unto Him completely and we are following the leadings and the promptings of His Spirit, that we can have great confidence in the Lord. So the first three chapters in the book of Ephesians is about the power of God and the purpose of God. And then when you get to the last three chapters, he really starts saying, because you know Christ and because you know who you are in Christ and what Christ has done for you, and because of the power of the Holy Spirit that worketh in you, that same Spirit that rose Jesus from the dead, He will quicken your mortal body. Because you know the power of God that's living in you, then you can live a different life from the world. The world is, you are a peculiar people, a royal priesthood, a chosen generation. You are different than the people of the world. So while the world is panicking, we can walk in confidence knowing that our God is faithful, and that whether we live or die, we live unto God. And we serve Him with faithful hearts and with a loving heart. We keep our relationship deep. You know, and if we are being shaken in any area, it's simply to remind us to go deeper in our relationship with God until we are resting solid and firmly in that strong foundation of Christ Jesus the Lord. So the last three chapters of the book of Ephesians, the Apostle Paul is telling us about how people of God are to live, the way they are to live. Now, last week we went through some pretty strong teachings on behavior and the way that we're to walk and the way that we're to live in the world. And we're still in that vein when we enter into Ephesians 6. So Ephesians 5, the very opening statement says, imitate God. So already we know that that is a strong word for the church today. Because the church is a symbol, and we understand that God is living inside of us. And the question that we ask when we read that first chapter in Ephesians 5, when he says, imitate God, that's a challenge for us to go deeper into the Holy Spirit. It's a challenge for us to come and lay our hearts open before the Lord and ask our God, is there anything in my life that is not lining up with your word? Is there anything that's coming out of my mouth that is not in agreement with God and his word? Because if I am to imitate God, I can't have anything, a stumbling block in my way that would prevent me from being able to be the Christ-like one, which we are called to be. So when we get to Ephesians 5 and 6, we're going into character development. We're going into allowing the Holy Spirit to govern and to rule and to lead our life. So last week I talked a lot about being led by the Holy Spirit, being filled with the Holy Spirit. If you're dry, if you feel like that you haven't felt God for a long time, if you feel like your spiritual heavenly language has not been coming and flowing out of your mouth, if you feel like there are just areas where you're just being overwhelmed and overtaken, that's a sign to you to lay aside everything in your life. And now is a good season to do that. Go shut your door, get in a closet or in a room, take your Bible with you and a notepad, and get alone with God. and allow the Holy Spirit to fill you, to remove your fears, to remove everything in your life that isn't in agreement. I hear the word saying the word alignment. You must get in alignment. When a bone is broken, it's out of alignment. It's out of proper order. When I go to the chiropractor, he's putting back into alignment what is out of alignment. And so when the shakings and the storms and the winds and the things that are happening in our nation, when these things are happening all around us and we feel shaken, it's because the nation is out of alignment. What does that mean? It's out of agreement with God and His Word and His truth. It declared itself a nation under God, but a nation under God must follow the principles of God. And so whenever there is out of alignment, there's going to be a wake-up call that says, you gave yourself to me, you committed yourself to me, you made a covenant with me, and you said that you would follow me, that you would be a city on a hill, that you would be the light. And so are you? It's meant to cause us to look in our hearts and in our lives. And the purpose to which we have church, are we doing this in the Spirit of God? Is God leading us as a nation and as a people? Or are we leading ourselves? Or even worse, is the enemy leading us? These are the questions that need to be answered by individuals, by churches, by communities, by nations. And the shakings will not stop until they are answered. So Ephesians 6 brings us back to what really makes strong foundations? What makes for strong nations? What makes for strong communities? What makes for strong households? And he goes opening up the sixth chapter. Remember, these chapters, though they're broken up, they were broken up by men, and verses were added to them later. So these were letters that were written to the churches, and they were dispersed all throughout the churches. So this was one big letter to eat, and it would be read before the body of people. And this one was read to the church of Ephesians. This letter was written to them in AD 61, around that time period, and it's the apostle Paul, and he's writing them this letter. So when he wrote it to them, he was in prison. He was under guard, and he was trying to strengthen the Ephesian church. He was just trying to build back that, confirm once again, and remind them of the solid foundation of Jesus. And so when we're reading this, we're getting everything. We're getting all of the revelation about who Christ is. We're getting the prayers of Paul for the saints. We're getting instructions about homes and families and marriages and employees. We're getting all of that in this word. And then he's going to close out this, we won't get to it today, but he's going to close out this chapter telling you to put on the armor of God. And that armor is Christ himself. And we're going to go through that next week. But today I want to just talk to you about Ephesians 6. We're going to open up to Ephesians 6. Have you ever considered the power of the family who loves and serves God? Have you ever thought about how powerful that raising godly children really is to a community, and what effect that would have on an entire society? We really don't look at things that way, but that's the way we need to look at them right now. There is a powerful, powerful force in a strong family. Did you know that it is a battle strategy against the enemy to have a strong family? Now, I'm aware that as I'm saying this, there are broken families, there are situations where people are divorced, that there are situations where there's lots of going on. There's single moms raising parents, there's single dad raising children, single moms raising children. There are grandparents raising their grandchildren. There are lots of things happening. But can I tell you that that doesn't change God's word? We're still able to take this word and be able to apply it to our lives, because the word of God is active and alive. The Bible says that it is powerful than a two-edged sword. It's able to divide marrow from the bone and separate the wheat from the chaff and the soul from the spirit. And so it's powerful. So this word is still going to apply. And for a future generation, we're going to have to teach them the value of strong marriages, strong relationships with Christ, and the power of having strong families. Because that's where a nation is strengthened, is in its relationship with God, number one. Number two, the strength of a mother and a father who love one another with all of their heart and who are willing to sacrifice for each other. And then the strength that that gives to the children. And so Paul is addressing this. It's very relevant in our society because we are facing the destruction of the family life right all around us. And so we're going to dive right into this in the book of Ephesians 6. And we're going to deal with it as the Apostle Paul and Christ, who was speaking through the Apostle, was dealing with it through us, to us. So God has always taught his people the importance of having God-centered families and raising godly children. So as I read this today, if you're a single mother and you're raising your children or your grandchildren, or a single father, you're raising your children or your grandchildren, an aunt, an uncle, grandparents, I just want you to hear what the word of the Lord is saying, because this is still for you. Because you are able to implement in the hearts of another generation the principles of God's word, which will teach them and change the course of another generation and bring them back to the strong biblical foundation of what a strong marriage is, what a strong family is. And you'll be able to instill that into a new generation so that they won't repeat the same mistakes that we have made. Amen? So it's so important. I want to read to you this, once again, God has always taught us the value of God-centered families and raising godly children. And Paul is addressing this in the opening chapters of chapter 6. He's talking about it. He says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord as his representatives, for this is just and right. Honor, esteem, and value as precious your father and your mother. This is the first commandment with a promise, that all may be well with you and that you may live long on the earth. Fathers, do not irritate and provoke your children to anger. Do not exasperate them to resentment, but rear them tenderly in the training and the discipline and the counsel and the admonition of the Lord." So we're going to deal with those first four chapters as we move along. Now, in the Old Testament, this was because the God of the Old Testament is still the God of the New Testament. Some people think that the God of the New Testament is different than the God of the Old Testament. It's one God. "Hear, O Israel, the Lord thy God is one. You shall love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy strength, with all thy mind." He's the same God. There is an extension of grace through Christ Jesus, and he became the sacrificial lamb that took the sins of the world upon himself, and all those who believe and have confidence in that sacrificial blood and who repent of their sins and turn away from their sins and give their life to the Lord, they will be saved. So that's important. We know that. But this is the same God that we're talking about here, the same God of the old covenant and the new. So the importance importance of raising a family in a godly atmosphere and in a godly way is all through the scriptures. It's all through there. So when we get to Deuteronomy 11 and 19, he's talking about the commandments and he's talking about the importance of teaching generations about God, how important it is. And in this time when people are in their homes, they're enclosed in their homes, this would be a wonderful time for you to sit down with your children, to hear their heart about their relationship with God. This is a great time for you to be able to teach them the word of the Lord and to let them see in you that a confidence and a trust in God, even when everything around you is shaken. So in Deuteronomy 11, it says, "Therefore you shall love the Lord your God and keep his commandments, keep his charges, his statutes, his precepts always. And know this day, for I am not speaking to your children who have not personally known and seen it." In other words, he's saying for those that have known the parents and the people that have known the ways of God, he's not talking to these little children. He's putting the responsibility of raising these children and teaching them about God on the parents and on the family members. You must teach the future generations about the Lord Jesus Christ. It is the most important thing that you can possibly do. Parenting is important. Parenting is important. He says in verse, as we finish out verse 2 of Deuteronomy 11 and 19, he says, "No, I'm not talking to these children who have not known personally and seen the instruction and discipline of the Lord your God, his greatness, his mighty hand, and his outstretched arm, his signs, his deeds, which he did in Egypt to Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, and to all his land, and what he did to the army of Egypt, to their horses and chariots, how he made the waters of the Red Sea flow over them as they pursued you, and how the Lord destroyed them to this day, and what he did to you in the wilderness until you came to this place, and what he did to Dothan and Abram, sons of Eliab, the sons of Reuben, how the earth opened its mouth and swallowed them up, their households, their tents, and everything living in it, the things that followed them in the midst of Israel. For your eyes have seen all these great works of the Lord which he did. Therefore, you shall keep the commandments which I command you today, that you may be strong and go in and possess the land which you go across the Jordan to possess, and that you may live long in the land which the Lord swore to give to your fathers, to give to them and to their descendants, a land flowing with milk and honey. For the land which you go to possess is not like the land of Egypt, which you came out of, where you sowed your seed and watered it with your foot laboriously, and as in the garden of vegetables. But the land which you enter to possess is the land of hills and valleys, which drinks water of the rain of heaven, the land which your God, which the Lord your God cares. The eyes of the Lord your God are always upon it from the beginning of the year to the end of the year. And if you will diligently heed my commandment, which I command you to this day, to love the Lord your God and to serve him with all of your mind and your heart and with your entire being, I will give the rain for your land and its season, the early rain and the latter rain, that you may gather in your grain, your new wine, and your oil. And I will give grass in your fields for your cattle, that you may eat and be full. Take heed to yourself, lest your minds and hearts be deceived, and you turn aside and serve other gods and worship them, and the Lord's anger be kindled against you, and he shut up the heavens so that there will be no rain, and the land will not yield its fruit, and you perish quickly off the good land which the Lord gives you. Therefore you shall lay up these my words in your mind and your hearts and in your entire being, and bind them for a sign upon your hands and as forehead bands between your eyes, and you shall teach them to your children, speaking of them when you sit in your house, when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you rise up. And you shall write them upon the doorpost of your house and on your gates, that your days and the days of your children may be multiplied in the land which the Lord swore to your fathers to give them, as long as the heavens are above the earth. So here you have, we understand that the descendants of Israel went into Egypt and they were multiplied there. They became a great people and they were oppressed when a Pharaoh rose up who knew not Joseph. And they were in that land and they were being oppressed and they were in bondage and they were being forced into strong labor through tyranny. And so there was great oppression there. And the Bible says that the hearts of the children and the people were crying out before God. And he heard them. He heard their cries. So know right now that God hears the cries of his children. He hears the cries of the people. He understands. And that's why it's important to pray right now. It's important to cry out to the Lord. It's important to seek the face of God. Because when he saw the oppression and he saw the trouble that his people were going through, they cried out before the Lord. And the Bible says that the cries of the people came before the ears of God. That's how important it is to cry out to the Lord in times of difficulty. That's how important it is to examine our own hearts and to repent of anything that is not in alignment with God's word. Because future generations are at stake. Your children and your children's children are at stake. The lives and the future of your nations are in are at stake. And the Lord is hearing the cries and the prayers of his people if only they cry to him. So when they cried, the Lord heard and he answered. He rose up Moses and Moses came. And by the power of God, Moses began to do great acts by the authority that God had given him. And these were eventually, through different circumstances, through plagues, through different things, the children will let go. I can't even tell you that it's symbolic of the last days, because it is. It is symbolic. The plagues came, the trouble came. There was oppression upon God's people. They began to oppress the saints. They began to oppress the people of the Lord. They began to murder them. They began to violate them. They began to do all kinds of things. And when God heard the cries of his people, if my people, which are called by my name, if they will humble themselves and turn from their evil ways, then I will hear from heaven and heal their land. You see, as God's people cries out, even now, God hears. You say, well, what does that have to do with anything? Because it's very important that right now your children are watching you and how you respond. And it's important that you're teaching them that God is faithful, that God is good, that God, that we repent as a people who are under God's leadership, that we repent of our sins and that we call out unto God for help. Because I tell you right now, no one can help you but God. So they cried out to God. Plagues were shaking the earth. Different things were happening to Egypt because there was oppression from the enemy. The enemy was destroying God's people, his chosen people, and there was great trouble. God delivered them out of Egypt with mighty hands, with signs and wonders and miracles. They went off into the Egypt. They went out of Egypt with gold and silver, and God blessed them. They crossed the Red Sea. The armies of the Pharaoh were defeated, and they went into the wilderness. Now, that was another testing period for them. In that time, will you serve me? Will you love me? Will you give your life to me? When this is being written, he is telling them, listen, you have been in this wilderness for a long time. Another generation has risen up because you did not follow the principles of God. You did not listen to the Lord your God. You did not obey your God. You did not follow him. There is another generation that is raising up behind you, and they have not seen the miracles and the wonders that God did when he delivered you out of the hands of the enemy. So I want you to teach them. Teach them. I want you to tell them about all the things that God has done and raise up another generation that knows that God is amazing and he's awesome and he's wonderful. So when I read this, I think about my grandmother and how that she went through the Depression. And she would keep a pistol underneath her pillow because she was a single mother. Her husband had left her with five children to raise on her own. And she was a strong woman, but she was just a small woman. She wasn't very big. But I remember going over to my grandmother's house. She always lived right next to me. And I would spend the night over there. And then she'd have that big old pistol under her pillow. That was her way of saying, Jesus is my God, but if anybody else shows up, they might have some problems. Okay? And she taught me the Lord's Prayer. And she taught me about when you went through the depression and you didn't have food and you didn't have basic supplies and you went through things, that you lived off the land. So always make sure you got fruit trees, and always make sure you got pawpaw trees, and always make sure you got chestnut trees, and always make sure you got some chickens, and you got some cows, and you got some, because whatever you don't have at your house, you got to depend on other people to give you. And so my grandmother taught me things. So several years ago, my grandmother's deceased. She died at 96 years old. The year that she died, she still had her garden. And my grandmother taught me some things about life, and she taught me about when things are hard that you never forsake your God, because that's when you need Him more than any other time. What is Moses saying to us? Remember and to teach your children what God has brought you through, and lift up and declare and decree the word of God before them and your testimony, telling them about how God brought you through difficult things. Because when I look back at my grandmother, and when I look back at my mother, who both of them are now deceased, they taught me about God. My mother would have dreams and visions, and she would tell me about God, and she would tell me about all the things that the Lord was showing her in a dream or in a vision. And I learned from my mother and my grandmother about the Lord. And so as you're in your homes right now, and as you're not traveling as much, I want you to know that this word of God is just as true today as it was back then, and just as true. Train up your children in the way they should go. The greatest responsibility of a parent, whether you're a single parent or a single mother or a single father, is to teach your children about God, and to tell them about all the times that He healed your body, and all the times that He brought you out of financial trouble, and all the times He made a way for you when there didn't seem to be a way, and how He provided a job for you, and how that He provided clothing for you, and how that He supplied you with a home, and how that He gave you help in your time of need. Teach these children about God. This is the greatest gift you can ever give them. Let them see you pray. Let them see you pray on your knees. Let them see you repent, because we all make mistakes. Let them see you crying out to God for mercy. Let them see you. Let them hear your voice. Let them see a change in your conduct and in your character and in your speech, as the Holy Spirit and the Word of God connect together, transforming the human soul. There is no greater miracle than a life that has been transformed by the power of the living God through Christ Jesus and His Word. No greater testimony. He says, I want you to teach your children. I want you to teach your children. Teach them about God. Tell them about what God's done for you. You've got time now. Use it wisely. Give them a foundation that is solid for the future, because they're going to need that solid foundation of Jesus for the future, as the prophecies and the words of God are going to be fulfilled before our very eyes, should we still be here. Paul writes, I want you to have strong families, strong marriages, strong children. There is something powerful. There's warfare, powerful warfare against the enemy when you teach your children to trust God, when families are serving the Lord. You're an influence. You make a difference. I remember that Mama raised us and there were seven of us. And there's no doubt we were different than all the other people on the face of the earth, okay? We were different. Mama raised us under the admonition of the Lord, the teaching and the trainings of the Lord. And she taught us about God. But everywhere we went, they would say, there's those Oliver kids. We'd come into church and we'd be like ducks in a row. Mama would lead. Here would come the oldest all the way down to the smallest. And we would line our row in the church. And you know what was amazing was that, you know how kids are. You don't think at that time that it's important to go to church. But my mama didn't miss church. She didn't miss church. She just didn't. We went to tent revivals. We all went. We went to whatever was happening at the church. It was the center of the functions. Now, I've saw a lot of posts that says, we're learning now that the church is not a building. I'm going to tell you something. Before you boast about that, the Bible says, forsake not the assembling of yourself together as some do, but as you see the day of Christ approach, assemble, even if it's 10 at a time. And I'll tell you why. Because it's so important to strengthen one another. Encourage one another. People are feeling isolated right now. The walls are caving in their homes. They are feeling like the world is falling down around them. They feel like this is an apocalypse time when the world is coming to an end. They're in despair. We need to be strengthening. Now, if you can't follow the guidelines, then send out the word of the Lord on Facebook. Send it out on television. Figure out some great strategies from God to get the word out there to strengthen people. I'm so impressed by all the ways right now that people are sending forth the word of God. But we are the house of the Lord. But God has always had groups of people that met together, regardless of the circumstances and the situations. So it's so important that we strengthen one another in this time. He's talking about the importance of valuing, raising up the family in the admonition of the Lord. And that goes back to the Ten Commandments, Exodus 20 and 12, when he says, regard, treat with honor, do obedience and courtesy your father and mother, that your days may be long in the land and that the Lord your God gives us. So children, he's opening up this sixth chapter and he's giving a charge to the children. Children, obey your parents in the Lord as his representatives, for this is just and right. Honor, esteem, and value as precious your father and your mother. This is the first commandment with a promise. It's the first commandment that has a promise of long life attached to it. So when you honor your father and your mother, when you honor them, that there is a blessing that is attached to that, and that blessing is long life. I lost my mother in 2015. And I can't tell you how many times since then that I have wept because I feel like I didn't honor her like I should have. There were so many things I didn't understand. And Mama would tell me, and she would say, one of these days, you're going to understand. You're going to understand why I did this and why I did that and why I said this and why I said that. But I couldn't understand it at the time. I couldn't understand it because I was too young. I was too full of myself. And you know how it is. You think you know everything. But they have wisdom. They have wisdom because they've lived life, because they've been through things, because they've made mistakes. They've learned the right way to do it, and they've learned the wrong way to do it. And the Bible says that we're to honor those godly mother and father who have lived out some of that life. Listen to wisdom. I declared that last week. The wisdom. Wisdom is shouting from the rooftops. Wisdom is shouting from the corners. I used to work at the nursing home, and I would go in there, and I would sit and listen to the elderly people who had been through difficult days and difficult situations, and they would talk about the goodness of God, and I would just learn Children, honor your father and your mother if you want to have a long life. I can hear people saying, well, my mother and father weren't good. They weren't a good mother or father. They weren't, you know, they were hurting. They weren't great parents to me. How could I honor them? How can I honor the mother and father that was abusive, the mother or father that was incestual? How can I honor them? What do I do as a Christian when I have had parents that have abused or did something that was offensive or hurtful to me? How do I deal with that? Well, we talked last week about the importance of following the leadership of the Holy Spirit, allowing God to speak to you about how to give them honor. I love Joyce Myers again because she was molested and raped by her own father. And she struggled because her mother knew about what was going on but didn't stop it. And so she had a struggle. How am I going to honor my mother and father? She couldn't wait to get out of the house. She couldn't wait to get out of the circumstance and the situation. And there are many that feel that way today. You know, I haven't had a good mother. I haven't had a good father. And I can't honor them because of the way that they've treated me, the way that they've done me in my life. You may not be able to have a relationship with your mother and father. It may be impossible because maybe they're not saved and they haven't been transformed by God. But you can still honor them and you can still pray for them. You can pray for their lives. You can pray for their souls. You may not be able to have a close relationship with them, but you can still forgive them. It's one thing you can do by God's grace. You can forgive them. You see, when we hold people in captivity and we refuse to forgive them, we ourselves are suffering. It's an honor to God when we forgive those who have hurt us and trespassed against us and sinned against us. Maybe you can't have a relationship with them because of their life or the way that they are living even now. But you can forgive them and you can pray for them, and that will be honoring them before the Lord. There's a promise attached of long life to that. It's so important that we honor our father and our mother and esteem them as valuable. Joyce Myers ended up actually coming to a place in her life where her father repented of his sins in his 80s and accepted Jesus Christ as his Savior, and she baptized him. She took care of her mother and father even when they were in a nursing home. Was it easy, she said? No. But out of her love for God, and out of the commandments of the Lord to honor her mother and father, she did it. God can give us ways if we're willing. He can teach us how to honor, even in difficult circumstances, our mother and our father. Fathers, do not irritate and provoke your children to anger. Do not exasperate them to resentment, but rear them tenderly in the training and discipline and the counsel and the admonition of the Lord. It takes time to teach a child. It takes patience to teach children. We understand that many fathers right now are struggling. They're struggling with pressures of job situations. They're struggling with the responsibilities of a home. They're struggling with how to please their wife and to do the things that they need to do at the house and do the things that they need to do at the job. And there's pressure on every side. And they look at their life and they think, how do I have time to do all the things that I really need to do? Many have said, well, there's no more sports right now. There's no more this, there's no more that. And so this is a time of opportunity for fathers to really be able to spend some time with their children and to allow God to once again reestablish your role as the father of your home, the teacher of your children. One of the best ways that a father can set the example to their children is by loving the wife. It's one of the best examples. When a father loves the wife, his spouse, the children are watching how that relationship works, and you're teaching them. Even without realizing it, you're teaching them. You're teaching them how to love your wife. You're teaching your sons how to love the wife. They're watching you. And the way that they see you be a husband and a father is the way that they're going to be a husband and a father. They're watching your life. I want to read this little song. I thought of this as I was writing this sermon. And when we get to this part, there's a song by Rodney Adkins. It's a country song, and it says, "Hey, I've been watching you. Driving through town, just my boy and me, with a happy meal in his booster seat, knowing that he couldn't have the toy till his nuggets were gone. A green traffic light turned straight to red. I hit my brakes and murmured under my breath. His fries went flying and his orange drink covered his lap. Well, then my four-year-old said a four-letter word and it started with S. And I was concerned. So I said, son, now where did you learn to talk like that? And the little boy said, I've been watching you, Dad. Ain't that cool? I'm your buckaroo. I want to be like you and eat all my food and grow as tall as you are. We got cowboy boots and camo pants. Yeah, we're just alike. Hey, ain't we, Dad? I want to do everything you do. I've been watching you. We got back home, and I went to the barn. I bowed my head, and I prayed real hard. Said, Lord, please help me. Help my stupid self. Then this side of bedtime later that night, turning on my son's Scooby-Doo nightlight, he crawled out of bed, and he got down on his knees. He closed his little eyes and folded his hands, and he spoke to God like he was talking to a friend. And I said, now son, where did you learn to pray like that? He said, I've been watching you. Dad, ain't that cool? I'm your buckaroo. I want to be like you. I want to eat all my food and grow as tall as you are. We got cowboy boots and camo pants. Yeah, we're just alike. Hey, ain't we, Dad? I want to do everything you do. I've been watching you. The saddest thing about our society is the breakdown of the family. The roles are confused and people aren't following the word of God. It's the word of God that makes solid families, solid marriages, solid life. It's the transformation of the inward heart into the character and the likeness of Christ that causes us to be molded in God's image and to be filled with His likeness. That's how my husband and I survive. If I make a mistake, I ask him to forgive me. Why? Because the character of God is in me. The fruit of the Holy Spirit is in me. I can humble myself. I can say I'm sorry. I'm not perfect. I'm not saying that we're not going to make mistakes. I'm not saying that you can't be a single parent and still raise godly children, because you can. You have God. He will help you. But what I'm saying is this breakdown of the family structure in our society has crippled us as a nation and as a people. And the Bible says, teach your generations the ways of God. Let's fix it now. Let's fix it now. Follow the teachings and the principles of God's Word. I think if there's anything that I've learned by going through this book of Ephesians, is that the teachings and of Christ Jesus the Lord are a little bit more challenging than what we've been hearing. And if we don't have the Holy Spirit, We won't be able to walk in this newness of life because it takes a listening to God, a knowing of His Word, and a surrendered heart following the Spirit of God to live this out. But I tell you, anyone who follows this Word and loves their God and submits to the Spirit and the teachings of Christ Jesus the Lord will be changed. And it will change future generations. Let's start now. Let's start now. Fathers, don't provoke your children to anger. Don't get so angry with them that you would hurt them or wound them or maim their hearts and their lives. There's a warning that Jesus gives in Matthew 18. Oh my gosh, it causes me to tremble when I read this warning about little children. This is for fathers. Fathers, don't provoke your children to anger. You'll break their spirits. You'll break their hearts. And the things that you want to pass on to them, whether they're good or evil, they're going to be passed down by them watching you. Matthew 18 says this, at that time the disciples came up and asked Jesus, who then is really the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And he called a little child to himself and put him in the midst of them. And he said, truly I say to you, unless you repent, change, turn, and become like little children, trusting, lowly, loving, and forgiving, you can never enter into the kingdom of heaven at all. Listen to the challenging words of Jesus. Whoever will humble himself, therefore, and become like this little child, trusting, lowly, loving, and forgiving, is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoever receives and accepts and welcomes just one little child like this for my sake and in my name, receives and accepts and welcomes me. But whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in and acknowledge and cleave to me to stumble and sin, that is, who entices him or hinders him in right conduct or thought, it would be better, more expedient and profitable and advantageous for him to have a great millstone fastened around his neck and to be sunk in the depths of the sea. Woe to the world for such temptations to sin and influences to do wrong. It is necessary that temptations come, but woe to the person on whose account or by whom the temptations come. And if your hand or foot causes you to stumble and sin, cut it off and throw it away from you. It is better, more profitable, and wholesome for you to enter life maimed or lame than to have two hands or two feet and be thrown into everlasting fire. And if your eye causes you to stumble and sin, pluck it out and throw it away from you. It is better, more profitable, and wholesome that you enter into life with only one eye than to have two eyes and be thrown into hell. Beware, beware, warning, warning, that you do not despise or feel scornful towards these little ones. For I tell you that in heaven, their angels always are in the presence of and look up upon the face of my Father who is in heaven. Those are strong words. It takes work to be a good parent. It takes God. If you are molesting a child that belongs to you, be warned. If you are physically abusing a child, be warned. If you are looking somewhere out of the evil that is in this world at little children being raped or molested or being sold into sexual slavery, and you're looking at pictures and you are defiling these children as if they were nothing, be warned. For I tell you, their angels are always before the face of God, and you will not get by with it. Can I make that any stronger? We are murdering our own children in this nation. And their blood is crying out for vindication. And God will not ignore it forever. Parenting takes work. It takes prayer. It takes counsel. It takes wisdom. It takes the word of God. It takes a humble heart. It takes a repentant spirit. Because we've made mistakes and we've done things wrong. But God will help us if we will cry out to Him. He will help us. One of the greatest books that you can get to help your children is the Bible. Another great book is Knowing Their Personality, because they're all different. If you want to know what personality your child is, find out, study them. There is a book by Florence Littner called Personality Plus. It is fantastic about teaching how each child God made uniquely and their own personality. I have 4 children. I have one that I can be really strong with because she's strong, and I have to be a little stronger with her. I have another one that's so tender, if you raise your voice at him, you will crush his heart. They are different. Study your children. It will take time. It will take work, but it's worth it. Study them. Just like you study your wife to get to know her. Study the Word of God. Study your God. Know your God. Know. Learn. The Bible says, study to show yourself approved, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, accurately dividing the word of truth. Study. Another great book for you would be The 5 Love Languages. It teaches you how each person receives love. Some get love by gifts. Some get love by hugs, personal touch. Some get love by words of affirmation. Learn what feeds your child. It will take work, but it will be well worth it. The apostle is telling us some wonderful tools to help strengthen marriages and families and children, and to leave a legacy of faith. A legacy of faith that long after you're gone, they will still be serving the Lord and shining the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's stand to our feet. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Almighty God. Thank you for this time to be with you. Thank you, Lord, that in the midst of shakings, we have a firm foundation, and that foundation is Christ. Thank you, Lord, for your word and the Spirit of God that causes it to burn and come alive. There's nothing we can't find in that word that will help us with our daily life. It is the book for life and eternal life. Father, forgive us for any area in our life where we have failed to display the character and the likeness of Jesus. Forgive us for not following this word and not reading this word so that we can know what is best. Help us to know God. That's the most important, to know you, God, and then to apply your word so that we can be the different people that you've called us to be. Cleanse us of anything in our hearts that are impure. And help us to walk this straight and narrow path in the power of the Holy Spirit. Thank you that you haven't left us here without help, but you sent the Spirit of God, and you have kept intact the Word of God to be our aid in times like this. Now, Father, bless your people. Let the wisdom of God increase. Let the Holy Spirit empower them. Let the Word of God teach them. If there's anyone listening to this and you are away from Christ, you do not know Jesus, this is the day of salvation. Today is the day of salvation. Give Him your life. I plead with you on behalf of Jesus to come. Come and give your life to the Lord. Allow Him to cleanse you and heal you. He will deliver you. He will save you. He will sanctify you. He will change you and He will teach you. He will empower you through the Spirit. You will be different as you walk with Him. Let Him do a work in your life. If you have left God and you have abandoned the purposes of God's heart for your life, you knew that He called you. You knew the goodness of God and you knew the calling that He had on your life. You tasted His sweet presence and you walked away when times got difficult or you got offended. I'm telling the church right now, by the power of God, I'm telling you, do not be offended at the way God is moving, because you may very well miss what God is speaking. Come back to the Lord. Lay your life at His feet. Lay your life at His feet and rededicate your life to the Lord. In the name of Jesus. Come back to God. Come back to the Lord. This is the plea of the Lord. Come. Come. All ye who are weary and heavy laden, come. Receive the sacrifice of Jesus. Be filled with His Spirit and His life. In Jesus' name, and amen.